Welcome to the Voting and Public Health During COVID-19 conference call. My name is Karen. I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Gabrielle Abbott. Gabrielle, you may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Thank you all for joining us on this call. My name is Gabrielle Abbott. I'm a communications manager with the All Voting is Local campaign at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We are pleased to host this telephone press briefing on voting in Michigan amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Joining us today are Agogo Adebiye, the Michigan State Director for All Voting is Local, Dr. Rob Davidson, the Executive Director of the Committee to Protect Medicare, Dr. Farhan Bhatti, family physician in Lansing and Michigan State Lead for the Committee to Protect Medicare, and Katie Pontifex, RN, a bedside nurse and board member for the Michigan Nurses Association. Speakers will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session. The operator will advise reporters on how to get in the queue at the appropriate time. To begin our call, we'll hear from Agogo Adebiye, the Michigan State Director for All Voting is Local.
Hello, everyone. This is a very important time, not only for the state of Michigan, but for the whole entire country, due to the elections that we're having this year that are historic, but also for the health crisis that we're undergoing. And it's a unprecedented situation we're in, but luckily we have some really good tools that we can use to get ourselves through that. And one of the tools that we have that was passed and approved by voters 2 years ago is Proposition 3. And Proposition 3 has given voters the right to vote by mail for any reason. It has also given people the right to satellite polling locations that every clerk in Michigan must provide. And those are important things that voters will be able to use to get through this crisis and to have their voice heard. But clerks have an obligation to make sure all voters know of their options and are able to use their options appropriately in a safe manner. Increased communication between officials and voters is crucial to protect our democracy and public health. Between now and November 3rd, officials must do everything in their power to not only expand voting options, but also inform voters of the different ways to participate safely in our elections. So I think we're going to have a really great call today with some great experts to inform you guys in the media of the ways that can be done and what we need to do to make sure that we're keeping up with the crisis and making things move along smoothly. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Bhatti.
Thank you, and good morning to everybody. I'm going to talk about some of the challenges that we're facing as it pertains to voting. We know that many of the communities that were hardest hit by COVID-19 are going to be adjusting to voting by mail, mostly for the first time. People of color are 4 to 5 times more likely to be hospitalized due to COVID, and yet only 11% of African-American voters cast their ballots by mail nationwide during 2018. So it's vitally important that we work with voters so they know all of their voting options and ensure they have multiple options to cast their ballots safely, particularly with high-risk individuals, including seniors and those with underlying health challenges. We want them to opt to vote by mail if possible, or use a drop box. With some predicting turnout of 5 to 6 million voters, as many as 3 million could cast their votes by mail this November. This would alleviate stress on Elections Day and reduce the risk of spreading coronavirus. As medical professionals and public health experts, we will use our platforms to encourage people to vote by mail and promote public health for all by reaching this important mark. Next, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Rob Davidson.
Thanks, Dr. Bhatti. My name is Rob Davidson. I'm an emergency doctor here in West Michigan, also the executive director of Committee to Protect Medicare, a group of docs advocating for science and data in public health and expanded healthcare. And we've got some recommended actions here on how we can make voting safer in this era of COVID-19. First, we should be encouraging vote by mail. It's safe, it is secure, and absolutely reduce the risk of spreading COVID-19. It alleviates long lines on election day, and you have fewer people interacting with one another and with poll workers at the polls. We need to implore that the state and local clerks provide prepaid postage for ballots. We don't want the cost of postage to be an impediment to people voting. They're confused about the number of stamps that are required and, you know, certainly could lead to votes not getting in time. Even though we're going to encourage vote by mail, many people will still want to vote in person. Like Dr. Bhatti said, maybe half, maybe 3 million people voting in person. We need to therefore ensure that they don't wait longer than 30 minutes in line to vote. They should try to maintain normal polling locations around the state to reduce any confusion. We need to have satellite polling locations provided for every 50,000 voters. We need to have periods of early voting at satellite locations for at least 2 weeks and 50 hours leading up to Election Day to ensure that communities that are historically disenfranchised are able to vote safely. There should be drop boxes provided so people can drop their ballot in a drop box without having to interact with poll workers or other folks and risk contracting the virus. These options should be widely publicized and communicated to voters so they are well aware of their options to drop off their ballot or vote in person before Election Day. State and local clerks should also ensure that in-person voting is safe for poll workers and for voters. Poll workers should receive proper PPE and undergo appropriate COVID-19 related training to make sure that people who do choose to vote in person are following the best practices and adhering to social distancing guidelines. Voting machines should be continuously sanitized by election workers. Local clerks should provide information about wait times at polling locations, and they should offer curbside or drive-through style voting. Voters who vote early in person at a satellite polling location or vote in person on Election Day are encouraged to follow these precautions to reduce their risk and the risk to others. We need to mandate or at least strongly encourage the wearing of masks or face coverings when voting. We need to encourage a maintenance of a physical distance of at least 6 feet to protect themselves, workers, and other voters. Before and after voting, they should be implored to wash their hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds or use hand sanitizer, which should be provided on entrance and exit to the voting location. They should avoid touching any items not related to voting. If possible, they should vote during times that are less likely to be crowded, such as mid-morning or early afternoon. And if someone is sick or concerned they have been exposed, they need to seek medical care, and then they need to have a way to contact their local election office for guidance about their voting options. Next, I would like to hand it off to Katie Pontifex. She's a nurse at Sparrow, caring for COVID patients on a daily basis.
Thank you, Dr. Davidson. I'm Katie Pontifex. I'm a registered nurse who works bedside at Sparrow Hospital in Lansing and a board member of the Michigan Nurses Association. As a nurse and mother, I'm very concerned about the deadly COVID-19 pandemic. Working directly with COVID-positive patients, I've seen firsthand how labile or unstable this disease can be. I've seen stable patients who are up walking and talking, about to discharge home, who then turn critical and need intubation in a matter of a few hours. I cheered as Sparrow's first COVID-positive patient discharged home after over 90 days in the hospital, nearly 30 of those on a ventilator on the brink of death. And I've mourned alongside my colleagues whose patients' hands they held as they died alone without family at their bedside. This virus does not discriminate. It's going to take all of us working together to get to the other side of this pandemic. COVID's not going away. We must adjust to this new reality. These adjustments include voting. With the primary election on August 4th, just less than 3 weeks away, it's important to make sure everyone can vote safely. We have to find ways of minimizing the risk of contracting or spreading COVID. Voting by mail is one of those tools that we as voters can use. And now, thanks to Michigan's new voting laws, voting by mail is easier than ever. When considering our at-risk population, especially our elderly and immunocompromised voters, voting by mail is the best option. Speaking for myself, I can never really guarantee that I won't have to work a 12-hour shift on election day. Voting by mail, though, gives me peace of mind. Many healthcare workers like myself are in the same situation. Voting by mail ahead of time is a way we as frontline workers can ensure that our voices are heard. Nurses strongly advocate for voting by mail. Vote by mail is safe, secure, and a great way to reduce the risk of spreading COVID-19. To echo Dr. Davidson, it helps alleviate long lines on election day. It means fewer people interacting with poll workers and keeps people safe overall. Protecting democracy and protecting public health care are not mutually exclusive. As a nurse, I encourage voting by mail as much as possible. And when voting by person, please, please remember to take proper steps to protect yourself and others. This means wearing a mask and practicing social distancing by standing apart from others when possible. I now turn it back over to Ogogo.
Thanks, Katie. I think everyone has really emphasized how crucial voting is in this pandemic and the ways to do it safely. I just want to touch upon and really emphasize two points that people have made. We need prepaid postage for a return. We don't need people going to multiple places to have to get stamps to turn in their absentee ballot. We also need to make sure that if we're going to have in-person voting, it's spread out with expanded location and hours for satellite polling locations so that there's at least 2 weeks of satellite polling locations open in Michigan so that voters can take advantage of that and vote in person in a safe manner. And with that, I want to turn it back to Gabrielle.
Thank you, Ogogo, and thank you again to all of our speakers. We're now ready to take questions from reporters. Reporters, please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker. Speakers, when answering questions, please remember to state your name and organization. Karen, can you please provide instructions for asking questions?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There will be a delay before the first question is announced. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. And we do have our first question from Dave Boucher from Detroit Press.
Hi, thanks so much for taking the time today to speak with us. I appreciate it. Can you hear me okay? Anybody?
Yes.
I have a question. Oh, perfect, thank you. I have a question for Dr. Davidson and Dr. Bhatti. I'm just curious, I know you were talking about the potential for 3 million in-person voters this fall, either for the primary or the general. Can you talk about, I know this might be hard to predict, but can you talk about, even if people are social distancing and wearing masks, like what impact that could have on the spread of COVID, either through like a resurgence or a quote unquote second wave or anything like that. Just even if people are practicing and are doing the best they can to socially distance and stay safe, like what impact would all of those people going to polling locations on the same day have on the virus?
This is Rob Davidson. I can take a stab first. So Rob Davidson, West Michigan emergency doctor and executive director of the Committee of Tech Medicare. Yeah, I think it can, right? We don't know exactly. We know that if people wear masks, if people are, socially distancing, that it decreases the likelihood. We certainly, if in August, especially if lines are outside versus inside, we know that that decreases the risk. If there's good ventilation, that decreases the risk. But this is so imperative that we encourage vote by mail. It's why it's so critical that our president is discouraging vote by mail, is making up stories about fraud that don't exist. We have states that exclusively vote by mail that have not had a problem with this. I think that's why these kinds of calls and continued messaging so that people understand it's safe, it's secure. And again, in the setting that we're in, it is absolutely critical to minimize any of those risks that definitely exist.
Sure, and this is Dr. Bhatti. I'm the Michigan State Lead for the Committee to Protect Medicare, and I'm also a family physician in Lansing. And I would just like to underscore the point that wearing masks and social distancing, while it reduces the risk for transmission, it doesn't reduce the risk to zero. So the risk is not zero. And when you have 3 million people out and about all on the same day, all trying to do the same thing, there will still be some critical mass of people who could potentially be exposed to the virus just by going out and exercising their, you know, their constitutional right to vote. And so it really is imperative that we take all the steps that we can as leaders to encourage people to do this by mail, if at all possible.
Hey, David, just wanted to clarify something real fast. We're expecting 5.3 million total voters to turn out, with possibly up to 3 million voting by mail.
Okay, thank you.
And as a reminder, if you do have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. We do have our next question. This person didn't leave any information. If you can go ahead and state your full name and organization, please. Okay. Our next question comes from Glenn Coleman from In Advance.
Hi, this is Ken Coleman from Michigan Advance. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay, great. To what extent has the set of speakers and organizations that are collaborating, to what extent have you worked with the Secretary of State's office to help carry out many of the efforts that you'd like to see?
So I think I'll take a shot at this one, Ken. Good to hear from you. Hope you're doing well. There are a number of organizations in our space, the ACLU, the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, Voters Not Politicians, Detroit Action, a lot of groups that are working on this issue and these problems that we're facing. And we've had constant contact with the Secretary of State's office in making sure that voters are prepared. Right now, the Secretary of State is sending PPE to all 82 counties in the state, and those county clerks will be responsible for distributing the PPE to all of their local clerks and ensuring that everybody is protected. We personally just had a Facebook Live town hall event with Secretary Benson yesterday on Tuesday, where she answered questions and interacted with us for 30 minutes on a call, just to emphasize how people can vote and how we can work together moving forward. So we're very fortunate to have the leadership of Secretary of State Benson, and we're working together as a coalition with a number of groups in the space, including the NAACP, I should mention, to make sure that voters are prepared to take advantage of their constitutional rights and are not fearful of the voting process this year.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from No Name. If you can go ahead and state your full name and your company. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
This is Kyle Malin from MERS. I had a question on this concept of requiring or having pre-postage on these absentee ballots. The Court of Appeals ruled that that's not a requirement that has to happen. So I wanted to know who you guys think should pay for this postage, and how many stamps is your understanding is needed for these absentee ballots?
Hi, Kyle. Good to talk to you. It is not required, and I don't think that is our implication, so I just want to clear that up if we've had a misunderstanding. But, there are a number of different folks who can pay for this. It can be the Secretary of State's office. It can be county officials. It can be local officials. Sterling Heights, their city council took a leadership role in their community, and they pass it on their own. The city of Detroit has been has had prepaid posters returned for years. And we all know that, the city of Detroit has had some struggles with budgetary issues, but they're able to do this. So there really is an excuse for any government in Michigan, local, on the local level, to not be able to do this. And it just ensures that voters have multiple options to return their ballots, which is critical this year, whether they return it by the mail, whether they return it in person, or through Dropbox. And the Secretary of State has generously provided Dropboxes to all the clerks across Michigan. So that needs to be publicized as well.
And we have no further questions at this time. I will now turn it over to Gabrielle Abbott for closing remarks.
Thank you, Karen. And thank you again to all of our speakers and everyone who joined in the call with questions. This concludes today's call. We'll be sharing the audio of this call later today. If you have additional questions or would like to reach out to any of the speakers, please contact us at press@allvotingislocal.org. Again, that's press@allvotingislocal.org. Thank you and have a great afternoon.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.